Good morning. Nice to see everybody. I tell you, just about everybody is here. I counted 109 today. So amen to that. We're going to talk today about an issue that is one of the most intimate parts of our relationship with God. And it's prayer. And it's something that affects each and every one of us. And I want us to look at scriptures. There's not a lot of I feel, I think, in my opinions. It's just Bible verses. But as Tracy read in Luke 11, verse 1, his disciples had seen Jesus go off and pray. And not that he was doing it for the sake of being seen, but they observed, and think of how many times they would observe Jesus pray with them and by himself. And when he came back to them, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that phrase, "teach us to pray," we have to be taught. Children need to be taught how and when and who to pray to and so forth. And I want us to look at those issues today because they affect us. One of the things we need to look at is who do we pray to? There is a lot of religious-minded people in the world today that might offer up prayers to Gaia, the Earth Mother, or a tree, or a mountain, or whatever. Some people I've heard, they pray to angels. To Jesus's mother, Mary. A saint. Or a person. They'll offer prayers up to an individual. Some even will pray to Jesus. And although, and there's a fine line here, we know Jesus is God. But Jesus prayed to God the Father. Paul prayed to God the Father. Never did the apostles pray to Jesus. And so who we address our prayers to is important. We want them. How we address a letter is important. You address a letter wrong, it may not get there. We want to make sure we address our prayers properly. The very next verse in Luke 11, and then a companion verse in Matthew 6, Jesus is explaining to the apostles, address your prayers like, you know, pray in this manner. And he says, "Our Father in heaven." Jesus is teaching them, address your prayers to God the Father. Paul says it numerous times, and I didn't even list them all. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul is telling the Ephesians, he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is part of our prayer because he's our mediator. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes you go to God in prayers, and sometimes you don't even have the words. I don't know if that hits people other than me. You're so beside yourself, you don't even know what to say. Jesus is our mediator. The Spirit works on our behalf. So They're all involved, but we're addressing our prayers to God the Father. They're in Ephesians and also in Colossians. Paul is telling in those letters that he's informing them, I offer prayers to God for you. What an unbelievable message that must have been to know that the Apostle Paul is praying for them. When do we pray? We've had a number of prayers so far in our worship assembly. We just had a prayer that people requested prayers. We've had prayers during the Lord's Supper. We've had prayers for the offering. We've had an opening prayer. When do we pray? That's as a body. We go to God in prayer individually. Hopefully, numerous times a day. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, that does not mean that you're on your knees, bowed head, closed eyes, 24/7, never doing anything else. But it's having the attitude of prayer 24/7. At the drop of a hat, and I don't know if I fully realize how close I am to the presence of God at any given moment, and how through prayer. That at any moment I can go and approach God the Creator, God the Father, with the innermost things in my heart. And I can approach Him. And He says, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That we can have that same relationship with God the Father that Jesus the Son had with the Father. And we see, and we don't have the time today to look at all the times Jesus went to God in prayer. It was numerous times that were recorded. How do we pray? How we pray is as important as these other issues. The Apostle Peter recorded for us, he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's one of the benefits and the kind of a reason why we go to God in prayer, that we have God to cast those cares upon. And it's not just, okay, I'm listening. He cares for us. But we have to go humbly. Humbly. Paul would write to the Philippians, interestingly enough, he wrote this from jail. And he says, be anxious for nothing. This is, I wish I had a dollar for every time this passage has been used in this location by somebody. We'd have a pile of money. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Seems like I've heard this someplace before, maybe just less than an hour ago from Bible class. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, would say in Matthew 6, he's addressing this concept of prayer, and he's telling them, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Ooh. He's starting this off pretty harsh. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Goes on to say, But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, I want to pause right there for just a second. Jesus is not telling us that we have to pray in our room. We can pray in a park. We can pray driving to work. We can pray together as brothers and sisters together. He's saying, don't be like the hypocrites. They pray to be seen by men. You make it personal between you and God. It can be a personal prayer that you offer amongst a crowd. You can pray to God in the midst of chaos. You can pray to God in the midst of a crowd, and God will hear. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. This is sometimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. A lot of people, religious people, use this today. And with the exception of verse 10, we could say these words today. We don't have to, though. He says, in this manner. Let's look at the manner of this prayer. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's addressing the Father, and he's giving him praise, glory, and honor. First of all, he goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. The kingdom had not come yet when Jesus said that. But on the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, it had come. So we don't still pray, your kingdom come, because we're in the kingdom. The attitude, your will be done. We had a verse in our in Bible class today. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That's tough to do. That's hard to put your wants and desires on the back burner and focus on God's will. It's yielding. Yielding to God's will. His will's going to be done one way or the other, with or without us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, everywhere. Jesus is never telling them, you can't ask for things. But look at what he says ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. The things we need to sustain us, that we need to sustain us to continue to be servants of yours. He doesn't say, I want the latest model chariot, God. Give me this, give me that. I want a brand new Roman duplex with awnings, and give us this day, today, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we have that heart of forgiveness? It's not asking, don't let me have to pay my mortgage payment. That's not what it's asking. That'd be nice, but that's not what Jesus is telling them to pray about. How do we forgive others? We want forgiveness from God. What's the attitude we have toward others? And do not lead us into temptation. Here's a good request right there. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he ends the same way he started, with praise, glory, and honor. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The disciples had asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And he says, in this manner, not these exact words, but in this manner, therefore pray. In Matthew 26, we see an example of Jesus praying. This is a little bit after what we refer to as the Last Supper, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And in verse 36 says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And Jesus did this three separate times. Jesus gives us an example of asking things of God, but willing to yield and having the desire, your will, not my will, be done. I know I've caught myself too many times going to God kind of with the attitude of the old TV show, let's make a deal. I want to wheel and deal with God. You do this, I'll do that, you know. I want to try to impose and convince God of my will instead of being submissive and yielding to His and keeping my eyes open to know and to learn what His will is. Prayer. It's something that every one of us, it's our connection to God. It's our opportunity to boldly, as it says in Hebrews 4, to boldly approach the throne and to address God. It's available anytime. We don't have to be in church hours. Only pray on Sunday, or only before a meal, or only before we go to bed at night, or only when we wake up in the morning, although those are all good times to pray. We don't want our conduct to hinder our prayers. In 1 Peter, and Tracy used this a few weeks ago in Bible class, talking about the marriage relationship, that passage is actually talking about relationships, but to boil it down, it's basically saying, don't let your conduct be such that it would hinder your prayers to God. We want to make sure our prayers are coming through loud and clear, and that God won't turn his ear from us because of the way we conduct ourselves. We need to approach God humbly and with sincerity, and always seeking God's will and being willing to yield our will for his. The lesson is yours. You've got the outline. If you would like to go over those scriptures again this week, prayer is such a special, intimate time that we have with God. If the lesson is yours, if there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayers, repentance, whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.